The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9. FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. I'm still in Halifax, by the way. Very rainy day. Yeah, in Halifax, a little cool. I still have some echo going on inside this speaker of mine. I don't know that it's on your side, but it's certainly, there you go. See, it fades. How does that happen? It fades when I say so. Anyway. Yes, it's rather rainy here in Halifax, a little cool. I'll be leaving here in a few hours. The flight is 5 a.m. in the morning, so you all know what that means for me tomorrow, right? It's going to be a long day tomorrow. I'm not sure I'm going to be with you, but we'll see how it rolls. If you want to give us a call, you can give us a call on any of the following numbers, 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. And, you know, I want to say this to you. I want to talk about policing today, but I want to talk about it from somewhat of a different angle today. But I want to tell you this. Sometimes you find yourself in a mood. What's a mood? A mood is a lingering emotion or set of emotions. Could be good or could be bad, you know, and by good or bad, I mean it could feel pleasant or it could feel unpleasant. That's what I mean. I don't mean good or bad as in evil or you know, good as in morally just. And sometimes we don't realize that the moods we're in have nothing to do with the situations that's going on in our lives. Right? You could have a bad situation going on in your life, or you could have a difficult situation going on in your life. But the mood is not about that. The mood is about your physical fatigue or so. Like, you could be exhausted, really, and not realize it. You could be fatigued and not realize it. You could be ill and not realize it. You could have had less than adequate sleep, and that's creating and producing the mood. So very often, there's a relationship between our physical wellness and the moods that we have. And so what I try to do sometimes is I eliminate physicality almost at the start when I feel myself in a mood by, first of all, resting. It doesn't matter. I could be at a mall somewhere. I'm going to sit down in a chair and just relax myself and take a break. Or I could be at home and I'll just lay down and rest myself, maybe listen to some calming music, etc. And it makes a difference. So I'm saying to you, be careful that you don't ascribe your mood to events, people, and circumstances going on, when in fact it could mean that you yourself aren't taking care of your body sufficiently to be in a better mood. All right, okay. So we have a new police commissioner, not an unusual situation in the country. From the time of B.K. Bonomi, when the Ingram administration orchestrated a change in the leadership of the police force to Ferguson and then to Greenslade and so on and so forth and so forth, we've been seeing changes in our police commissioner, right? Not unusual. And a lot of times these changes take place with some political talk, sometimes with no political talk. It's just a change. What we never talk about, really, is the performance of the police force under the particular commissioner. That's seldom a part of the conversation. Seldom. Right? Where was murder when the commissioner took over? Where's murder now? What was attempted murder when the commissioner took over? Where's it now? Where's armed robbery when the commissioner took over? Where's it now? Where's rape? Blah, blah. All the various measurements that, listen to me for a minute. The various statistics that the commissioner reports on when he gives his report on crime. Why does the commissioner give a report on crime statistics? And when the commissioner sees that there is a decrease in a particular area of crime or all areas of crime, what does the commissioner say? We have seen a reduction in this, and he ascribes that to the performance of his force. Therefore, the commissioner, by implication or direct assertion, is saying that you can tell what we are doing by where these statistics are going. So here we are, time in and time out, watching a commissioner leave or come and leave. And oftentimes the discussion is around the politics of the move, those kinds of things, rather than what has been the performance of the force, what has been the results in crime under the tenure of this police commissioner. Very seldom, start the conversation. When Paul Rowell took over from, was it Alison Greenslade? Not Alison Greenslade. When Paul Rowell took over, which was under the, he came in under the Menace administration. Crime, murder was at a certain point. I showed you that. And just prior to the pandemic hitting, murder rate went down. And so did many other crime stats. If that is an indication of policing, he did a good job. If that's an indication. So he's being moved now on the basis of what? Crime's going up. His philosophy probably better is for a lot. Well, the new man's philosophy better fits with the Progressive Liberal Parties. What is it? What is it? I suspect that it is in large measure because the present administration feels more comfortable working with that commissioner. And a thing of which I make no judgment as to whether that's right or wrong, because you have to be comfortable that the leadership of an organization, particularly a public service organization, will be supportive as in willing and able to execute your policies. Because that's important. And this is where I want to make a particular, yes, Anthony Ferguson, that's right, Ferguson. That's who Paul Rowe took over from. So this is where I want to make a particular set of points, right? Brother McCartney, on his show, rightly indicated that you have three branches of government. You have the executive branch, you have the judiciary, that's your courts, and you have the legislative branch. The legislative branch makes the laws. The judiciary in a dispute about the laws interprets the laws. Just remember, that only happens when there's a dispute about the law, right? And of course, the judiciary carries out the functions of overseeing crimes in relation to the law, to violations of the law. And so then there is the executive, which is responsible for the general direction and control of the government, inclusive of law enforcement. So anytime you look at any entity in the state that is drawing its resources from the public treasury, you need only ask which branch of government is responsible for them. Okay, so any branch, you just look at it, you say, okay, what about the Registrar General's Department? Are they judicial? Are they legislative? Or are they a part of the executive functioning? They're a part of the executive functioning. Who's responsible for that? The government? The cabinet? Right? Then you look at affairs of the House of Assembly. Who's responsible for them? The Parliament? That's a part, they're part of the legislature, the legislative system. Now, just because you draw your checks from the Treasury doesn't, and it is part of the reason why there is a bit of controversy about the independence of the judiciary and the independence of the legislature, because they rely on the executive to supply their budgetary resources. And there is a debate around the fact that control of the budget could in effect influence these two supposedly independent branches. Now, administratively speaking, I can tell you that it was the decision under the Ingram administration when I was there that whatever the judiciary and the legislature put forward, in particular the judiciary, as their budgets, they would be accepted. A saving and except there was an egregious overreach on their part in terms of requests for budget. But generally speaking, you observe their independence by saying, whatever you send me as a request for budget, I'm not going to debate this, no cutting down. Ministry of Finance just went ahead and approved it. So you just need to ask what the agency, who's responsible, the legislature, the judiciary, or the executive for that entity. Well, look at the police force and the defense force. Do they come under the judiciary? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do they go to the legislature? Absolutely not. Well, then obviously the executive is responsible for them. And if the executive, therefore, is responsible for them, and the executive by the Constitution has the general direction and control of the government, then the executive has general direction and control of general direction and control means. General direction and control means that saving and except where the law gives that entity or agency any particular responsibility, the government can direct them insofar as they are not in breach of that law that gives them that direction, or where the government feels that the law need be amended in order to take away or enhance or give new powers to, then the government can go to the parliament, amend, repeal, or introduce a new law to do just that. So any notion that the police force, the defense force, are independent entities in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is a fantasy. A fantasy. They are like every other agency of the state, every other agency of the state. Notice I said agency of the state, not institution of the state, because this does not apply to the courts and does not apply to the legislature. Every agency of the state, every ministry, every department, every entity of the state is an instrumentality of the policy execution of the state and therefore of the government of the Bahamas, i.e. the cabinet of the Bahamas. Let me say it again in this way. The government, the cabinet of the Bahamas in our system is responsible for the general direction and control of the state. How does it reflect that general direction through policies? Those policies can be by law, or those policies can be by declaration, or those policies can be by procedure. And so long as those policies are not at odds with the Constitution, then those policies have to be followed, executed by some agency of the state. So the national security policy of the Bahamas is determined by the cabinet of the Bahamas. The chief promoter and director of that national security policy today is the Honorable Wayne Monroe, who is the minister responsible for national security. It is not his policy, it is the government's policy that he executes. And he is charged with leading the charge in ensuring that those agencies of the state responsible for national security actually carry out the government's policy. So don't tell me the government can't be involved, because they don't have no job saving the job of conducting and carrying out the government's policy, some of which policies are enshrined in law. And then any day that the government wants to change it, the government can go into parliament and change it. Even if that law relates to the Constitution, the government could go to the parliament and change it. And if it is an entrenched provision of the Constitution, the government can go to the people and ask the people to agree with it to change that aspect of the Constitution. So the police force, the commissioner, and all of his team, they are instruments of the state to execute, to carry out the policies of the government of the Bahamas insofar as policing of the state is concerned. Let's be clear on that. The commissioner don't wake up no morning and decide, oh, I just can police how I feel. Not so. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. He polices in accordance with the national security policy of the country. And if judgments made on his part conflict with that policy, the minister has the right to say to him, Commissioner, what you is not consistent with our policies. Now, if the commissioner says it may well not be, minister,
but it is what I am mandated to do by law, then the minister can say, okay, well, thank you, Commissioner. I shall then go back to my colleagues and ask my colleagues to amend the law so that you can act in accordance with our policy, and our policy can be in accordance with the law. And if that amendment is made, the commissioner has to wake up the next morning and carry out a different policy, even one that may be entirely contradictory to the one he first used to have, because it is now the new law. Why? He and his team and his organization are instruments of the state. That's what they are. Instruments of the state, creatures of law. Even in his role as provost marshal, he is exercising responsibilities under the policy of the government of the Bahamas, which is enshrined in the Constitution, which policy could be changed if it could be changed in accordance with the Constitution itself. There is no independent police force in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. There's no independent defense force in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. They are subject to the civil authority of the Cabinet of the Bahamas. That is the nature of things. Now, remember now, there's policy design, there's policy administration, and there's policy execution. If the government, i.e. the minister, says, I am just going to allow the commissioner to go ahead and carry out his responsibilities without interference from me, he could do that. No problem, no thing at all. He can absolutely do that. That's a discretion. That's a discretion. I could promise you one thing. It'll only last as long as the commissioner is acting in accordance with the policies of the police, of being of the government. You could believe that. I couldn't care less what anybody says. On the day the commissioner acts contrary to what you see, the PLP administration believes is his policy, you ain't got to worry about him getting pulled in and say, listen, big man. Please check yourself before you wreck yourself. So see, we can say anything in good times, you know how it is. When things are going all right, everything is all right. Until things are not going all right, then. You know, one time I said to Mr. Ingham, you know, I haven't heard from you since I was appointed. You know, I like the feedback to know whether I'm heading in the right direction. And I know what Ingham told me. He said, Shivago, if you don't hear from me, you are doing all right. Because on the day you hear from me, it ain't going to be a good thing. So you could go and exercise all the control and independence you want as commissioner. I could guarantee you one thing. If you buck up into the government policy, you will hear from the prime minister, as you hear from him every Thursday anyways. If the government isn't involved with the policing, why does the prime minister meet with the commissioner every Thursday? You think the prime minister meets with the commissioner every Thursday, and he don't meet with the minister, you know? He meets with the commissioner every Thursday. You think they meet just so the commissioner can just talk? Or do you think that the prime minister has anything to say in relation to what he's hearing? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Gul. I'm your host. We'll be back after this break.
Not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with a RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking policing again today. One of the things that you never want to happen, which is one of the reasons why the powers of the police commissioner is enshrined in law, is you never want the relationship between the government and the commissioner of police and the police force to be so incestuous, so cozy, that the government feels comfortable using the police force as a means of achieving political ends for itself, partisan political ends. You never want that to happen. You don't want the government to use the police force to harass people because of some partisan political motivation. You don't want the government to use the police force to put people before the courts to serve some partisan political reason. And so you give the commissioner of police powers within the law so that if the government feels the need to amend those powers, it would have to go to the people's parliament where resides the opposition in order to do so, and in this day and age, to do so in the transparency of gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House of Assembly. You want that so that there is not an easy way for the commissioner and the government and the police force to collude in partisan political ways to cause mischief in the society. You don't want that to happen. It ain't good. So that this one get off because they align with this party, the next one don't get off because they're not aligned with this party, this one get prosecuted because the police force is a powerful, powerful, powerful entity. It's got arms that it utilizes, madness, and you put guns in the hands of people, that's some serious power.
right? It can go under certain circumstances and search out your place, your private property, and all this kind of things. And even while they may be looking for something legitimate, they may find something else embarrassing, and all of a sudden, bang, shang, and line, you up in problems. So you don't want the police to be used for partisan political purposes. And so there has to be, and there should always be, a certain legislative rollout of the functions of the police commissioner and of the force. By the same token, you given a powerful force, you don't want the police force to be so independent it could go whatever the heck it wishes to do, and ain't nobody could hold them accountable because they got all the guns. They got plenty, they got legal guns, weaponry, and vehicles and all that kind of stuff. If they decide to turn that power on the state, turn that power on the civilians of the country, it may get arrested at some point, but it could cause a lot of hell while it's doing so. So you don't want that either. So you want them to be in check. All right? So, you know, it's not a simple matter, this relationship that exists between the government and the police force. But the police force is an instrumentality of the state. Overseen by the cabinet of the country, right? And so, you know, it will reflect the government's policy directives as it ought, and must abide by the legal responsibilities that it has as provided by Parliament. And my hope is that rather than be overly obsessed with discussions around the politics of appointments, because if politicians appointing, you have some politics involved. You want me to say that again and say it slowly? If politicians are involved, right, are doing the appointing, politics is going to be involved. Now, that don't, to me, is not a bad thing in and of itself, that politics is involved. What you don't want is, well, here's what you don't want. This is bad politics. This is bad politics. I am appointing you, notwithstanding every piece of reasoning and evidence suggested you are an incompetent soul to be commissioner. But you as an avid, dutiful supporter of the political party of mine, and therefore, despite your incompetence, I shall appoint you commissioner. That is bad politics. But if you have two fellows, both of them are very competent, very capable, and both of them have the wherewithal you believe to carry out policy, but on margin you have observed and believed that one of them may be more supportive of your policy than the other, there ain't no bad politics to me that you choose the one over the other. I mean, no bad politics to me. That just make good sense. You got competence on both sides. You got qualification on both sides. But now in one person, you have a person who is more inclined to support the policies that you have laid out to the public. And you pick that person. What's the problem with that? Nothing wrong with that. You're going to point to what any of you appoint to your business, to run your business, somebody don't like you and don't like what you're about, would you do that? You could do that, but boy, that person must be a doggone genius that you sure could make you want millions and millions of dollars, Jack. You could do it under those circumstances, because I know there are people who don't like people who will recruit them because their talent is there, but that ain't no usual thing at the top of no organization. I can assure you of that. That is not usual, right? And so you want the relationship to exist in a functional way. But my hope is that we get to the place where we're not talking about the politics surrounding these appointments. We're talking about the performance of these appointees, the ones who leave and the ones who are coming in. You know, why am I appointing you? And what did the one leaving accomplish? What does the statistics say? Because now the new commissioner will have a set of statistics that he is inheriting that can be followed into his tenure. Now, you can't put on any commissioner all of the results of any particular period of time. But let's be clear now. I don't want you to know nonsense. Let's be clear. If Minnis leaves things for Davis to do, and things don't work out, you fire Davis, you don't say, but he ain't get all the things done because Minnis said, you fired him anyhow. If Minnis had things left from the Christie administration and didn't get some things done, you fire him anyway, but you don't say, well, you know, it was the Christie administration stuff too that he also had to carry. We don't do that. We hold you accountable for what happens under your charge. Because the assumption is if you take the job, you can do something about the situation you find yourself in. And that's them the breaks. And nobody's able to sort out, okay, well, this part of it belonged to Minnis, that part of it belonged to Davis, this part of it belonged to Paul Roll, and that part of it belongs to Fernando. Nobody can sort that out with any kind of serious definitiveness. You're going to get blamed for what happens under your tenure. And you know what is true? Politicians get blamed for the outcome of crime and what have you. Politicians get blamed. Nobody ever seems to talk about the police, which is responsible in the main for trying to bring that thing under control. And I'm not complaining, because you're the politician. You're the one who got up there and tell people you could bring crime down, you can break the back of crime, and then when it don't work out, now you're going to blame the police commissioner. I'm just saying in reality, though, we have to talk about the performance of the police commissioner and his police force, insofar as these things are concerned. And yes, we talk about what the society is doing, but that ain't how we talk when things go down. When things go down, you say, look at what we're doing, look at the job we're doing. But when they go up, why come you don't say, well, look at the job we're not doing? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Relang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I guess I didn't take the break, eh? The producer didn't let me take the break? All right, let me read this text then for you. This text says, Mr. Lang, I was happy to hear the new commissioner is bringing back that firearms unit in his speech yesterday. I recall how effective it was under the late D.K. Bonamy. They had all the gunmen running for cover. Thank you, Mr. Fernando. We are watching, okay? This text says, hey, buddy, can you find out if the Bahamas National Pride Association still operates? I'm trying to get a sign reprinted. I want best kept yard. I want to show some national pride this independence. I tried their number. Okay, I don't know. I maybe they're listening. They could tell us. Texas, I hope they are still operational. The answer to the crime situation, clean home equals a clean yard, equals a cleaner community, equals a cleaner citizen nation. So they ain't serious. All right. Producer, you think we could pay our tribute to our sponsors now and take that break?
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you made
it.
I'm MasterCard. The lady running to me, MasterCard.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
To Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We have a text here says, thank you for acknowledging that. All of the arguments I've heard so far have spoken as if the politicians and the police always have pure motives. No less, the Commissioner Rowe told us just last week that the Commissioner himself can be strong-armed to carry out partisan punitive actions against Bahamian citizens under a prime minister given to partisan actions. Now, let me tell you something. My mother, I believe, is listening to the show. And others of you who have lived long enough are listening to the show. And if I'm wrong, I beg you to tell me this was not something you perceived in your time. I beg you. When I was a younger man, in high school, like when I was in 11th and 12th grade, when I was in college at the College of the Bahamas, in those periods of time, it was a very real notion that essentially the police force and the governing party, the PLP at the time, was one. That there was no question that most of the hierarchy of the police force were staunch supporters of the PLP. And there was a fear that they would be used or were in fact being used for partisan political purposes. There was that fear. Now, I'm not saying whether that was a reality or not, but I lived that perception in my country. I did. And there was a great deal of concern that somebody who got in trouble, if they had the right politics, could make a call and boom, boom, that was everything was everything. And somebody who didn't have the right politics could be in problem. That was a fearful time for people. Things changed over the years, I would say, as governments changed. But that was a reality. And if I say people who are listening to me who lived in that period of time, if they think that was not the case, you let me know. I'm happy to say some people don't think that that was the case, but that was what I observed. This text is lying. It's sad to say, but it's politically motivated. That's the bottom line. There's no other difference. And I hope one day it will stop. And even though that person isn't inclined for the job, I don't know. I believe, I mean, how do you know if a commissioner appointed is fit for the job? Like how would you know? How would you as a citizen know that? What could you know that says, you know what? I don't think that person should be the commissioner. But what information would rest in your mind that could tell you that? Maybe words he said, she said, maybe some published deed that he or she has done.
maybe words from members of the police force who express no confidence in his or her leadership? I mean, how would you as a citizen know? How does the government know? Let's be real now. How would Prime Minister Brave Davis know? How would Wayne Monroe know who's best fit to be the commissioner of police? Who would know that? How would they know that? What would they look at? What is required to be a competent commissioner of police? Somebody tell me, please. What would you look for? What qualities would you look for? What capabilities would you look for? What skills would you look for in a commissioner of police? Ms. Tuck says, you're correct. My parents used to tell us, don't talk politics and don't wear red. I don't think it was just perception. As one person who know what I was talking about, I'm 55 years old, so I'm talking about 45 or more years ago, or some might say even less ago. Right? What does it take to be, what qualities do you need in a commissioner of police? What would make the difference? We got a call on the line. Caller, I got like 1 minute, so if you want to make it quick, or you want to call back, it's up to you.
Hey, good afternoon. I can make it 1 minute.
Okay.
What I wanted to say was I felt like the person that would be commissioner of police would be somebody that from the outside appears to be unbiased. But I'm trying to find out, would he have gotten the same position had he not campaigned for the VLP? Had he not been so vocal against the minister or the FNM administration? Would he have
Did he campaign for the PLP?
Yes, he did.
Oh, really? I mean, like literally campaigned?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Do you mean this present Commissioner Fernanda?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
And this is why I'm saying, it's for me, that's why, when I called the other day, I said, it smells fishy to me. I don't see it being unbiased. I see it being he is being paid or because he's paying for his supper.
Well, I mean, at the very least, you would have somebody who is absolutely in support of the government. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our look at the police force and police. And we'll be back after this news break.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Heart Rewards, the ultimate loyalty rewards program. Sign up for free at Solomon's, Fresh Market, or Exuma Markets and start earning smart rewards every time you shop on every item you purchase. Every dollar you spend will earn you one smart rewards point, and points are redeemable in all participating locations. Getting started is quick and easy, so sign up in store or online at amlfoods.com and earn smart rewards every time you shop at Solomon's, Fresh Market, or Exuma Markets.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today
on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have some text here. Let me read for you. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. You talked about police resources. Do you remember Commissioner Greenslade saying after the 2012 election when Christie won, and he said, and quote, now he could do his work? So Ms. Ingram was furious. I thought it was wrong for him to make that statement and he would have gotten the resources. I can tell you this much. Anyone who looked at the police prior to Mr. Ingram's charge and after Mr. Ingram's charge or any period therein couldn't argue about enhanced resources for the police. Now, I think what Mr. Greenslade might have felt was somewhat of a, what he felt was like more or less his freedom to do some things he thought he could do perhaps, right? Because I did think that Mr. Greenslade had, on occasions, tinkered on the verge of, you know, kind of, you know, he kind of like wore his frustration on his sleeve in a way and, you know, was kind of, he just seemed somewhat sometimes timid or intimidated or bothered by, you know, something or the other having to do with the way he was being led, you know? So, but I couldn't see anybody arguing that they wouldn't get the resources and weren't getting the resources they want to police the country. I couldn't see that at all. Steck says, I was on the streets as a young man from the 80s and early 70s. P.K. Bonamy was a bourgeois police. He was not on the beat, but his son was. BK Sr. was and did have a rep for fair amongst street gangsters. Steck says, Chivago, that's true. Back in the 80s, I heard from the top-down politics player a lot in the commissioner decision that the way that's the way the government worked. The people in places what could carry out your police policy, you're right, Chivago. Biden do it when he win. The government, I have no problem with that. Okie dokie. But what is required of a commissioner of police? Well, you know, to my mind, the commissioner of police is first of all a leader of an organization. So the first thing you want is to know that the person has leadership skills, right? And what are leadership skills? You want to know that a person, first of all, is able to objectively assess the reality of things around them, right? Because you want to know that your commissioner is able to see the state of play, to see the state of the environment he's operating in, that it is a high crime or low crime environment, that these are the this is the nature of the crimes being committed and these are the circumstances we seem to be confronting. You want to know that he's able to objectively assess the nature of his organization, the state of his organization, the level of his manpower and the quality of his manpower and all that kind of thing. So you want to know that you have somebody who is able to assess, first of all, reality. Because it's from that assessment of reality that you then will expect in your leader, somebody who is able to craft a vision for a new reality. If the reality that he assesses is bad, you want a vision of one that's better. If there's one that's good, you want one that's better. If it's one that's better, you want one that's better. So you want a visionary person. And by visionary, I don't mean you pull in some brand new thing never seen on planet Earth before. No, vision says, here is what exists and here is what is possible. And you want somebody to be able to craft that vision
for a better set of circumstances outside and within his organization. You then want to have somebody who is able to put together with his team the vision too, but a strategy for achieving the vision. Strategy is a set of decisions, very important decisions that might make possible the realization of a vision. That strategy would incorporate a set of objectives, goals, the identification of resources, manpower, and otherwise, and the kinds of steps and measures to be taken that one believes will achieve the goal, the vision that one has crafted for an organization. So you want to have a commissioner who's able to do that. Importantly, the commissioner as a leader has to be able to communicate that, communicate it to his team, communicate it to the society at large. Here is what we are seeking to achieve. Here is how we are seeking to achieve it. And then, of course, this gets to be incorporated in the commissioner's policing plan. So you need to know that if the press asks him questions, he's stumbling over, articulating to them what he is seeking to achieve. There has to be clarity in his head every morning when he gets up and to go to work and sits at that desk or stands in front of his team and is the command and be able to say, yes, gentlemen, here is what we have agreed we are trying to achieve. Here are some things that I am thinking we need to make some adjustments in relation thereto. You want to have a person who's capable of listening to his team, listening to his community, and then incorporating the lessons of that listening into a plan that is communicated or expressed back to the team and to the community at large in pursuit of realizing the vision. You want to have in that leadership somebody who is empathetic, who understands that in order for me to lead effectively, I have to build trust in the people I lead, and that if I for me to build that trust, I have to serve the people I lead, meaning I have to give them the tools that they require in order for them to do the job that they need to do. And as long as they feel like I have their backs, then they will have mine, and together we'll work to be able to get the things done that we need to get done. When I violate that trust, or they feel like I violated that trust, I'm prepared to humble myself and say, you know what, I was altogether wrong in this, and I really am sorry, and let's fix it and try to get this job done that we have to get done. You want to have someone who is open to change and adjustments necessary to achieve the ends. You want somebody who's strong, though. You don't want nobody who flip-floppy. This one come in here and say, but you know, Chief, we should do this. And you say, yeah. The next one come and say something opposite. You know, Chief, we should do this. Yeah. Because you're trying to be popular with everybody. Popularity is an enemy of effective leadership. Jesus said, woe is me when all men praise you. Woe is you when all men praise you. If everybody praising you ain't leading, because in leadership you have to make decisions, and decisions means you have to necessarily isolate some people because you can't satisfy everybody's diverse interests, needs, and ambitions at the same time. So you don't want in your commissioner of police, you don't want any leader, somebody who is comforted by popularity. Oh, Charlie's so sweet, he's so nice, oh, he's such a, and all day long you're only living for praise. If everybody praising you, you ain't doing a good job. You're not. Because mothers and fathers and husbands and wives could tell you there are days when they are at each other's throats because they ain't everybody happy with what they do. Because sometimes you got to make decisions and people be sucking their teeth at you all day long. What you can do about that? You can only try to make the best judgments you make and the best choices you make, and heck with whatever falls and lands after that. Right? Where you see you made it wrong, you got to come back and say, listen, but that wasn't a good one. You know, got to make some adjustments there. But you can't have a wishy-washy person. You got to have someone with conviction, man. You got to have a police commissioner with integrity. You can't ask you can't have somebody enforcing the law who ain't interested in keeping the law. That could be a problem. Not merely because it could land him in problems, but because it can undermine the public sense of fairness, justice in the societies. All right? You want somebody in a commission of police on a technical basis who knows policing, who has experience in policing, right? You've been a police. You've been in the force. You've been operating as a police. So when the constables come to you, you can say to the constables, I understand where you're coming from, been there, done that. Yes, you'll take into account that particular thing. When the sergeant comes, you say, well, yeah. When the inspector comes, yeah. When the soup comes and so forth, because you could say to them, you know what? I understand this policing I have been a part of. It is my experience. And experience means to have been immersed in a thing in such a way as to develop a skillfulness in the thing. That's what experience is. Deep knowledge of. Deep understanding of. And you want that in your commissioner. That doesn't mean he has to know everything. And that's why he has a team. So he can draw. He doesn't have to know every aspect of policing. He has a team of people who may have expertise in particular areas that he can draw on. But he got to know policing, though. You can imagine a top cop not been a cop. He was a chief of police, never been a police. A little difficult. We're not talking about the civilian people now. We're talking about the police. This text says, Great show as usual, Mr. Monroe said, crime is not a political issue. They just figured that out. I could recall they used crime for the last 5 elections. Man, you can't be listening to politicians say that nonsense. Let's be real. Stop talking nonsense. Crime isn't political. Ain't nobody say crime is political. You're talking about the talk and discussions and happenings around the crime. That's political. Right? Tell me crime ain't political. When Cecil Waters-Whitfield was accused of involvement in a murder, that's all political. You mean it ain't political. Right? Let's stop talking nonsense. I don't even listen to that. Don't worry about that. That's just talk. Because when the PLP is in opposition, crime is a top political issue when the murder rate is high. When the FNM is in opposition and crime and murder and crime is high, then it's on the top burner of talks for the FNM. So let's stop. Let's stop, man. Let's stop and move on. Let's stop and move on. Move on. Let's stop talking about the political and political and this anyway. Just do your job. Just do the job. Just work and produce results. That's all. Don't worry about all that. Because if the government produces good results in the crime, for instance, if murder drops significantly, if other crimes drop significantly, what you think the government would be saying come election time? Look what we did. Look what happened on that. Is that political or not? If it goes way up from here, what you think the opposition could be saying election time? Look at what happened under the PLP. How crime has skyrocketed. All right, come on. Let's be practical. Let's be real. Come on. All right? This text is for Selang. I know I could not be a police commissioner because even as a young police officer, I was prepared to lock up my mother or her, or a high-ranking officer, or even a politician. Trust people that knows me would tell you I don't joke. I still haven't changed today. I follow the law regardless of who it is. You're a tough cop. You'd be a tough cop. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Chicago Lang. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay, man. And yourself?
I normally don't call. I just listen, right? But I had to call today because you are quite correct. Crime, they basically made crime. But you remember when the Progressive Liberal Party had all them billboards on it? It was 600, 700, 500 meters.
If all I remember, I was fighting for my political life.
Exactly. In an effort to get in as government, they put billboards all over the place, man.
Well, listen, you know, again, it's you can't ask political people not to be political. It's just ridiculous. Okay. Right? And the society is political because the society is supportive of political parties, right?
I agree with you. Just do your job, man. You know, go in there and do your job.
That's all. Anyway, that's all that's required.
Thank you for calling, man.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. That's all that's required. I mean, really, the rhetoric is not necessary. I assure you that if the crime rate declines significantly under the Davis administration, they will get the benefit of that. There's no question about it. No matter what is said, people will acknowledge it and say, boy, listen, they did a great job here and so forth. So forth. No matter whether you say crime is political or not. I have to tell you, I mean, literally, I am absolutely shocked that this happens over and repeatedly. I mean, here's the pattern. And listen, y'all are listening to me. If this pattern is not a pattern that you detect, please text me and say, Shivago, stop talking stupidness. Don't say it politely, say it just like that. Say, Shivago, stop talking stupidness. This is the pattern. So you're in opposition on the murder rate side and crime side, and you say, my God, look at what is happening under this administration. Crime is up high, people are fearful and so forth. And then you say, our administration will break the back of crime. Then you get in. And listen to me, tell me if I lie. The talk then becomes, well, you know, crime is a community, takes a community effort. We all have to be, while the crime persisted now, we all have to be involved. The community has to be involved and everybody has to be involved. We're going to give the police more resources. If that isn't the pattern, you please text me and don't say it politely. Say, Shivago, stop talking stupidness. this text is, Shivago, you is an example, is the example Papa had a lot in you because you could do your job trusting somehow someone go show Shivago. I know. But you got to do the right a little carefully. Something. It's Texas lying. It's sad to say, but the Minister for National Security is not fit. He doesn't make sense and nothing he says, absolutely not. I don't agree with that. I've listened to him on occasions and I've heard him make good sense about some things. I wouldn't say I haven't agreed with him on everything, but he's made sense, good sense about some things. This text says that the report wasn't political because both parties agreed to follow that plan, but the FNM didn't when they won in 2017. Then he said, let's not make it political. Ready? Read every... What? Okay. I actually am glad you pointed this out because I did hear Mr. Monroe say that the Minister group and themselves agreed the crime plan. What is he talking about? I don't know if you heard that, but what did he mean? Was he suggesting that the National Development Plan, which was in fact embraced by both the FNM and the PLP, is the plan, the crime plan for the Bahamas? Or is he saying that the commissioner's crime plan is the plan? I wasn't quite sure what he was referring to. So before I comment beyond that, I really would like to know what exactly was Minister Monroe referring to. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, good evening, sir.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thanks, you know. I would like to say just that no matter how much resources is put in the police force, they won't do anything different. Resources need to go into folks and services, you know, social health of this nation. You know, because
All right, I'm sorry. Whatever is happening with your phone, we are unable to hear you. You're really breaking up badly. I'm sorry. Yeah, try again. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm saying is no matter how much resources they the money needs to go into social services. You see, because the majority of the murders are a great percentage of the murders done through the drug by the drug trade. You see, and these people, that's what they do. You know, when one boss dies, then another one comes up, and then they do the thing. They they do the murdering to protect their turf. That's just the nature of it. You know, thank you.
All right, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hello, can you show you something else, boy?
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose. Wait. Then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Life is full of complicated things. Trading in the Bahamian stock market doesn't have to be one of them. As a BSIC registered broker, RF Stock Brokerage is your direct line to buying and selling shares in publicly traded companies like AML, Cable Bahamas, Doctors Hospital, and more. And with priority trading and the automatic deposit of your trade proceeds and dividend payments, with RF, you're going to love the way you trade. Get started today at rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me at 439-3043. Someone texted me earlier and said, sometimes space is all you need. Time to be alone, collect your thoughts, catch your breath, and find your center. That's true. It's very important, very true. I see that Deputy Commissioner Lehman Delevaux was answering questions about his qualification and fitness to be Deputy Commissioner. And he said, I don't know anything of that. He said, some have questioned the timing of his appointment and the settlement. He says, I am a serving police officer. I qualified myself. I came up through the ranks from constable straight to assistant commissioner before attaining this post. So it would be unfair for anyone saying anything else otherwise. You know, to be honest with you, if I were Mr. Delevaux, I would politely not even address that question. I would, and I, not to be offensive to the press, but here's the reason why, right? Whether somebody questions my fitness for an office or not, The fact of the matter is, you can't appoint yourself to the position. So even if somebody is questioning your fitness for the position, that question as to my fitness ought not to be put to me. That is a question to be put to the people who appointed me. My responsibility is to do the job I was responsible for. So my answer would have been, listen, I have a job to do, and I am going to do my job, period. Because it is not an appropriate question for somebody appointed as to their fitness. Because one, if in accepting the job, they must have deemed themselves fit. But it wasn't them who gave themselves the job. It was the political leadership. So if you want to question their fitness, question the people who appointed them. That'd be like going to the NBA, right? Somebody recruits Irving, and you go to Irving and say people are questioning whether or not you're a good fit for this place. And you need to answer that. I wouldn't answer that. You've got these millionaire owners of these organizations, these coaches, and all these people who are supposed to know what they're doing, decide we want this person for our team. You ask them if he fit for it, not me. And you just do your job. You just do your job. I remember when I was announced as the Minister of State for Youth, Sports, and Culture in 1997, I literally, this actually happened. I literally heard the gasp when people went, oh, was like, they were stunned. Why wouldn't they be? Like, I had never held political office before. I had not been a very visible, active, political, partisan political person in the FNM before. I had been an activist, a youth activist, but I had not been. And so that people gasp, I get that. And I did hear people say, well, what would make him fit to? I heard that, but it didn't bother me because that wasn't my responsibility. Ms. Ingram presented to me an opportunity to serve with him in that way, and I took it. And I went and did my job. And I listened, I waited, and I listened to people who were, wow, look at him, wow, right? That's the thing, you do your job. Don't try to don't answer people who are questioning your fitness for something you couldn't give yourself. Now, if you take on a responsibility, so you go out there and you tell people you could wash cars, right? And you're doing a bum job, and they say, well, you know you're fit to wash cars, you need to answer them. But if people hire you to do something and it turns out you can't do it, you need to talk to them. They didn't do their due diligence, or they had an expectation based on all the evidence that you could, and it turns out you could not, but it was their call. It wasn't yours. I certainly wouldn't have taken the question up in that way. Because actually, you know, when you start in a job, that's really not a narrative you want to be helping to push or to even give air to, right? I mean, it's a brand new job. It's a wonderful appointment, a big, huge responsibility, and you are answering whether or not people think you're fit for the job. Really? Okay. Now, the question of you settled with the government and how much you got paid, they could ask you that. I wouldn't answer it either. I wouldn't answer it. You go ask the government that. Because the government work for you. They work for the government. The government work for you. Go ask the government. How much did they settle for? And honestly, listen to me. Government, I don't know why you wouldn't tell people what you settled a matter for. Honestly, I don't. See, you are government. If you make a judgment that this thing needs to be settled and this is the amount to settle it, yes, the public might be outraged, might be alarmed, but you know, you have to remember the public doesn't always see money in perspective, right? Because if you announce $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, the public, because so many of them are strained and really challenged to meet their financial obligation, they think like, wow, my God, what a huge sum of money. I wish that was me. Bam, 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 bam. You give that to this police and then you make him a top cop too. Wow, man, that's going to happen. Right? But you have guidelines. You have legal guidelines. You have guidelines that help you to determine what is just settlement in a case. You do, right? You come out and you say what you did and own up to the reasons for doing it. And whether people agree with you or not, you're going to have to leave it there. But when you are afraid to say, people think you're hiding something and you have something to hide and that you're embarrassed and uncomfortable with what you decided to do. And that makes it worse because it goes to the issue of confidence and trust and integrity. And so why even invoke that? We have to stop being afraid to own up to the decisions we make. Now, I'm not saying the government is afraid. I'm just saying nothing has been said so far, even though people have been asking, right? You just own it. You own it. This is the determination made, and here's the reasons why we made this determination. And maybe people settle with that, and maybe they don't. No problem. Maybe maybe you think, you know, given the sensitive nature of the positions that these gentlemen have, it's probably best we don't mention what they have, what we've settled them for, and therefore, you know, that might make them a target for people who have nefarious motives and that kind of stuff. That's a justification too. But you can't just be silent. You know, the people are owed an answer if you work for them. That's just the reality of things. They are owed an answer if you work for them. And I think that the longer they ask and don't get an answer, then the more you're going to find people starting to think, I know, but this, I ain't sure, but that, and so forth, and so forth. All right? But it's your call. And we'll see. But again, Mr. Deputy Commissioner, man, listen, man, go do your job. Do it well. We root for all of you now. Commissioner Fernanda, your deputies, police force, we're rooting for you, man. We're rooting for you. We hope you have outrageous success. Outrageous success. We hope that every police strategy you put in place leads to an arrested crime, leads to the stoppage of a crime, leads to the lowering of crime. We pray and trust you have outrageous success. We will help you in any way possible. I could, if you're FNM, PLP, DNA, or CO, I couldn't care less. Let's help the police. Let's help the government do what it has to do to ensure that crime is lower, 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 so we could be the safest society on planet Earth. Safest society on planet Earth. So we wish you very well. I don't, whatever your settlement is, whatever you said or didn't say, you have the positions now. Ain't nobody could change that. Nobody could change that other than the people who appointed you. And so we wish you outrageous success. And anything we can do to assist you in your effort, you and your team and your efforts, we are here to assist you in your efforts. I have friends who are police officers. I know the work they do. I have a nephew who's a police officer. And we know the work they do, and we know that the circumstances that confront them. You know what I mean? People start shooting. You know what everybody does except the police? Everybody runs away from the shooting. You know what the police does? Runs toward the shooting. Some bad, nasty accident happens. You know who's there to go look at the gore and all of that? And that's to rescue people still and police them. So we with you. We wish you, pray for you, outrageous success. Don't let us down. Don't let us down, sirs, moms. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Relang, your host. We're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up. We'll be back. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fool with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Hello? Keisha, you something else, boy.
Who this is? Tamika?
You ain't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you got to get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shibago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I want to remind you, folks, that the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of Bahamas is hosting a Meet the Policy lecture series on July 12th at 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Theater at the University of Bahamas. The featured guest speaker is the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, QC, Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, and he will be addressing the topic, the National Development Plan for the Bahamas. Wow. The National Development Plan for the Bahamas. That's July 12th, 2 days after Independence Day. We'll be hearing from our nation's Prime Minister on the National Development Plan for the country. So
make yourself available. You can RSVP at GPPI, that's GPPI at ub.edu.bs. That's GPPI at ub.edu.bs. So make yourself available. I think it's going to be very interesting to hear from the Prime Minister on that important topic. So I have a text here I want to read for you. The text says, I'm reading this really a bit gratuitously because I want to make a point. Says the question is not what happens, but rather what right, fair, ethical, et cetera, politics is killing our country because most of them are bloodsuckers of the cookies, jar, dipping here, dipping there. See, that's a view that's held by someone who sounds to me more like they are venting rather than making any sensible commentary about things. That's just gratuitous nonsense. And I'm gonna say it, it's just gratuitous nonsense, haterating. That's what it is, right? You can make comments about what you observe as a particular specific set of things that was done, but that kind of stuff, that's just like a bitter spirit venting nonsense. And I read it to be able to say just that, a bitter spirit venting nonsense, right? Who you know who doing what? And if you know it well enough, were you involved? Come on, man. Y'all are, some of you, you're terrible at this nonsense, terrible. These are human beings, you know, that you are talking about. You're just terrible. And in your mind, I can see you in your little corners of the world just spewing that garbage, right? Nonsense. Who are you? How you know who was there? How you know these people? What's in their hearts? You haven't a clue. You know why you used to talk that way? There's a quote that says, most people judge people by their own autobiography. You know what that means? That means if I was there, that's how I'd act. That's why you talk that way. If I was there, I'd take the money shot. My hand would be in a cookie jar. I'd get as much as I could get, boy. That's why you could say that. Because you say, that's what I had to do too. Otherwise, all you're doing is hating, man. And it ain't right. Anyways, as I said before, we have to... Well, first of all, let me say, we have a new era in policing beginning with the new Commissioner of Police. Now, let me tell you how it is before you get a job, right? You sit there and think, if I was there, I do this, I do that, I do the next thing, I do the next thing, I do the next thing, I do the next thing. Well, now you got the job, right? You have the job. So what is possible now is we know what the crime stats are today. We know what they are. Well, we know what they are as published as at a certain point. And now we get to track them, Commissioner. That's what we get to do. We get to track them along with you, because you're going to present them on occasions, and you're going to present your commissioner's policing plan, and we'll be able to examine that and see the extent to which over time you perform in relation to that. And that is as it should be, right? Everybody's performance ought to be evaluated against their job description. What is it that you've been hired to do? How have you performed in respect thereof? That's how you do it. I tell that to young people too. I say, listen, when you get this job description, it's your Bible. That's the Bible. It's the thing by which you shall be judged. the things that they tell you are the things that are required of you. Every now and again, you should take out that letter and you should read it over and ask yourself, in relation to these things that I have been hired to do, how am I doing? That's the judge. Because if you have a dispute with the people who hired you about your performance, you want them and you say to them, please, this is my job description. Let's talk about these things that you documented that I have been hired to do. And every single person listening to me, if you have a job, if you have a task, if you have an assignment, I hope you have it in writing. Go look at it. Look at it every now and again. This is what I do. And so when I have to give a report, I try to give a report on the basis of the assignment. This was fulfilled. This was not fulfilled. This is in progress. This is not in progress. You know, because that was the deal. That's the contract. That's the obligation. Right? We sometimes get caught up in all the sidebars, who like you, who don't like you, who feel like you breached the ghetto, you overstepped your boundaries, who feel you did not. This one who feels slighted, the next one who feels slighted. I mean, like, honestly, to me, that kind of stuff is energy sucking, right? Energy sucking. Like, if you're in an organization, bro, and like, you taking up your time because your ego feels slighted by somebody as opposed to answering the question, are we achieving the results that we're supposed to be achieving? If you're taking up with that, let me tell you something. Like, you are, that's an energy sucking business. You're missing the whole point altogether. That's like that conversation Jesus had with the folk. When his disciples say, Lord, look at them casting out demons in your name, and they're not one of us. Jesus said, listen, man, but if they are not against us, they are for us. Just think about that for a moment. While your feelings is hurt because somebody you think ain't pay you all the respect or regard you thought they ought to have paid you, the organization is benefiting from the work, and you feel something kind of way? Seriously? No, man, go do your job. Go look for results. That's what you want. Go look for results. Look for the results that make things better, to make the advanced things, that put the health things to get ahead. That's what you're looking for, right? In the process, people should try to maintain good and solid relationships. They should try to be respectful and try to pay regard to the procedures and protocols, et cetera. Of course that should happen. Of course it should happen. But to be altogether sidestepped by that, especially where you know somebody may not have expressed any malicious intent in doing what they're doing, but I've been getting results. But what is the big deal? Really? So we wish the police force well. We wish the government well in supporting police force and guiding the police force's effort so that at the end of the day, the society is safe, orderly, and functional. And that's the basis on which we can assess and judge all of them. That's how we're going to judge and assess all of them insofar as the national security of the country is concerned. How safe are we? How safe do we feel? What's been happening with the things that make us feel unsafe? That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at those things, and then we're going to say, well, bro, sir, ma'am, the performance seems to have been in relation to those things, well done, or subpar, or otherwise. I'm not going to worry about whether we like you or don't like you. That's going to be neither here nor there. But sometimes we don't like each other and don't like people for the stupidest reasons in the world. What difference does that make to me? What's your job? What's your job description? And how well have you done the things that you're supposed to do in your job? That's what's key. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to C Live. I'm Shivar Gulang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. God goes well, God spares life. You'll hear from us again tomorrow. God bless you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.